Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. It's easy to forget things. As I get older and older, I forget things. I almost called Miss Brooke Elizabeth this morning, so I guess Mr. Jesse can forget a couple of the words too. So I'm sure that we've all had that experience. And if you're younger and you've never had that experience, guess wait, it's coming. So and it's going to come and it's going to come and it's not going to go away. So so let's see here. This morning in Acts chapter number 14, we're going to focus on two verses. In a little while, we're going to read the majority of the chapter, but there's two verses I'd like to introduce to you as the theme verses, and then we're going to get right into our message in Acts chapter 14. The verses are found in verses 19 and 20, and it says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Title of this morning's message is, How to Keep Getting Up. How to Keep Getting Up. We see in the story here that Paul, he has been preaching and teaching in this city, and anytime the Word of God is presented, anytime Jesus Christ is presented, there's going to be a division. There's going to be those who accept him, and there are going to be those who reject him. And we see that there's people who came from the previous cities that were upset with Paul, and they got together, and they actually says here in verse number 19, they actually stoned him. It wasn't that they threw pebbles at him. They threw large rocks at him, trying to kill him. And then they said they said having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. If you go and look up that word, it's referring to they actually dragged him out of the city. They threw him on probably the garbage pile, the rubbish pile, thinking that he was dead. And, you know, different people think, and if you go back and you study out that word when you're using supposing he had been dead, if that word is used other times in the Bible, it actually gives the significance that he actually did die. And then you see the miracle that happens in verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. I love these verses. Great story. A lot of things we can learn. But this morning, I'd like for us to focus on how we can keep getting up. I tell you, if you've been saved, you're trying to live for God, and you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be times when you get knocked down. And the question is, what are you going to do when you get knocked down? I think Paul had three different choices here. Paul, I think, could have just laid there and died if he wanted to. I don't think Paul healed himself, obviously, but God knew Paul's heart, knew Paul's spirit, knew that Paul was going to get up. And as you see, the remarkable thing, I think, about this whole story, not only was the fact that he was stoned, not only the fact he was rose up, but it says, and he came into the city. He went right back into that exact same city where the people had just stoned him. I think that's the greatest part. Paul here has a choice. He could have laid there and died. He could have said, this is enough. Forget this. He could have quit, or he could have got back up and started working for God again. And that's the thought here. What are we going to do when we get knocked down? There are different things that come into our lives that just knocks us over. There's different things that happen to us that causes us to want to just give up or quit. We get overwhelmed, and sometimes we have so many things that come in our lives, and we wonder what we're going to happen, and we just fall flat on our faces. You know, if you haven't been there, it's going to happen soon. There's instances that the devil will bring that will try to attack us, things that will happen in our lives that we never thought were going to happen, be overwhelmed. What are we going to do? Are we going to get back up and keep on working, or are we going to quit? That's the idea of this morning's message. Just go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the sermon today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Lord, I pray that we as believers understand that we're going to face hard times. We're going to face times when struggles come and trials come. Lord, when you saved us, you never told us that persecution wasn't going to come. Instead, you told us persecution would come if we lived godly. Lord, I pray we look at this and understand why we can keep on getting up, how we can keep on getting up, how we don't have to quit, how we don't have to throw in the towel, how we don't have to stop serving, but instead, we can keep on serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be saying in verse number 19, how did he get to this spot, this point, where this city actually wanted to kill Paul? Let's go ahead and read the chapter. We'll start from the beginning, give you a little bit of explanation and commentary as the story goes along, and we'll get to this spot, how to keep getting up. Chapter 14, verse number 1. We left chapter 13 last week. He was in Antioch of Pisidia. There was a division there. They expelled him out of the city. They pretty much threw him out of the city. And it says in verse 14, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue. Now, who is it they're talking about here? Both together, talking about Paul and Barnabas. And they're going into the synagogue. Why are they going to the synagogue first? You're going to see this over and over. When Paul enters the city and Barnabas enters the city, they go to the Jew first. The synagogue of the Jews. And so spake a great, now look, a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks believe. So we have some believers here. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So you have people that were against Paul and against what Paul was teaching, these Judaizers, you could say, that were stirring up the trouble, stirring up not only in their own mix, they went into the Gentiles. And now normally they wouldn't have much to do with the Gentiles, but when it came to fighting the things of God, they had no problem there. They wanted to stir up. They didn't mind there as long as they could fight together. And they corrupted their minds. They persuaded their minds against Paul and Barnabas. Verse number 3. Long time. Okay, you say, okay, there was a problem, that meant that left. No, it's in verse number 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. So they continue there. And we see that there's resentment against Paul and Barnabas. There is a long time they're there. They're speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. I think that's amazing. It's talking about the word of God's grace. It gave testimony that Paul and Barnabas still continued on preaching and teaching, even though there was many in the city that was against them, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You remember what we talked about before. These are sign gifts. They're entering into the city of Iconium. They did not know Paul and Barnabas. So to give credence to their apostleship or give credence to the word of God, a credence to the gospel, we see that God allowed them to have signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. This is always what's going to happen. When truth is presented, either people reject it or people will accept it. But there will always be a division. Jesus Christ will always cause for an answer. And then there will be those who agree and those who disagree. And it says, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So we see here that there becomes an assault in a sense. They were gathering together to get ready to stone Paul and Barnabas. They were aware of it. Someone told Paul and Barnabas and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And they preached the gospel. I think this is, we don't want to get past this or lose this here. What do? They're running for their lives to another city. They spoke boldly. They continue on serving. They continue on preaching. But when they are led by the Lord to leave the city, they go ahead and leave the city. And what do? When they get to the next city, they stop preaching. It almost cost them their life over here. They stop preaching. No. It says, what do when they get there? They preach the gospel. This is what God's called us to do, is tell people the gospel. Verse number 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So we see the story. Where are they at? They're in Lystra. This man is impotent. You see the description here. Meaning his feet had no strength, being crippled from his mother's womb, meaning he had never walked, even crippled from as a babe in the cradle, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul could tell the like-minded spirit, and the fact that as he's preaching and teaching, he's accepting it all, he's believing it all, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, could you imagine that? There's just certain things I'd like to have been there. Paul's there, he's preaching and teaching, and there's a guy there, amening, going along, he's there. And Paul sees him, and he says with a loud voice, this is the confidence that God has given Paul in God's power in Paul's life. He says with a loud voice in front of this crowd, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. What an amazing miracle. The people respond. One of the problems with miracles, back even in Bible times, you see sometimes people are more fascinated with the miracle than they are with the Messiah. And so here we see here in verse number 11, the people respond in a weird way. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, Jupiter here was the idea that is another name for the Zeus, the head god. Mercurius was the one that was the speaker, and since Paul was the main speaker, I don't know why they called Barnabas Jupiter. Maybe it was because he had a little bit more of a prestigious look to him. Doesn't matter. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So you imagine here, there's a large multitude. They're seeing this man be healed. He's up, he's leaping, he's jumping. God has healed him. And now they're beginning to prepare a sacrifice. Jupiter's priest comes from that temple. They bring the oxen. They're getting ready to sacrifice it. And then when Paul and Barnabas finally realize what's happening, it says, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes. Now, this was a Jewish tradition. When they were sorrowful, they would rent their clothes and a sign of humility and just crying out, and ran among the people crying out. So they saw what was happening. They were amazed by it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, some of us, we like it when people pat us on the back. But Paul and Barnabas, no, they want nothing to do with praise. They want nothing to do with them getting glory. It says they run crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you. He's saying, look, we are just like you are. We're men. Remember, Peter had to do this with Cornelius and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. So Paul and Barnabas are running throughout the crowd. They rent their mantle in a sign of being humility and humbleness. And they are saying, look, we're just like you are. We want you to turn from this. And they called it vanities. They says, look, this sacrificing the men, this believing in false gods, we want you to turn from all these things and turn to the God who made heaven and to the God who made earth. And it continues in verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling our hearts with food and gladness. And remember, these people are Gentiles, and Paul is beginning to explain to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But where does he begin? He begins explaining to them that there was a creator, and speaking about the creation of heaven and earth and the creation of how God left a witness and gave them rain and fruitful seasons. Verse 18, and with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they stopped them. But obviously the people here are not happy. These men are calling them to turn from the gods that they have believed for so many years. And that's where we come up to verse number 19. It says, and they came thither certain Jews from Antioch into Iconium. Remember, there was Antioch that they expelled them out of the city. That wasn't good enough. Wasn't at Iconium that they were talking about stoning him, and Paul and Barnabas had to flee. That wasn't good enough. They have to now travel to Lystra, and they get with these other people, and they stir up the trouble, and they stir up the people. It says in verse 9, and came hither the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, once again, you can complain, or you can argue, or you can have discussion here whether or not he really truly died. I think if you go and do some studying, I give credence that I believe he actually did die here. But no matter what happens, it's a miracle what happens. Because in verse number 20 it says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. So he got up after being stoned. These people think he's dead. He's on the pile here. He's outside the city. They've gotten rid of him. They think they're finished with Paul. They'll never have to hear from him again. They'll never have to see him again. It says he stands up. That's a miracle in the first place. And then look what it says. It says that having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and he came into the city. He went right back in the same city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So he actually gets up and he takes a long travel to Derbe. So if a man had been stoned and was not healed, there's no way he could have made that travel. So he actually is stoned, I believe, dies. The Lord raises him up, and then he goes back in the city, and then he leaves again to go to Derbe. Now, it's fascinating to see Paul's perseverance and Barnabas' love for the gospel and the preaching and teaching that needs to happen. But what we want to apply today to is how to keep getting up. You know, Paul, he gets up, he's stoned, he's thrown on the heat pile, he gets back up and keeps on going. How can you do that? Because I know it's easy to get discouraged. I know sometimes it's easy to want to quit. Sometimes it's easy to say, hey, it's not worth it. The suffering's not worth it. The frustration's not worth it. The persecution's not worth it. Hey, if I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, why do I keep on doing this anyway? And there's three things I want you to look at today. First thing is the reason how to keep getting up is, first thing is, you keep getting up because you love God. You keep getting up because you love God. I think in this story here, what was Paul's passion? He loved souls because he loved God. He said, well, why do you love God? Because your salvation is real. So what do you mean? I don't think that Paul would have kept on getting up if he really truly didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I think the Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. Because Paul knew what God had done for him. His salvation experience was real. Paul knew what God had done for him. Paul understood what God had done for him. And Paul loved God for what he had done for him. And don't get me wrong, I want you to understand, if he did not have a real salvation experience, he wouldn't just keep getting up. And we think of the story about the disciples, how they said that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Those disciples would not have continued on living for God and causing them to lose their life. Almost every single one of them were martyred for the cause of Christ. They would not have done that for a lie. Their salvation experience was real. It was real to them. They loved him. They see what God did for him. And I tell you, you're not going to keep on getting up if you trust in baptism. You're not going to keep on getting up if you're just a church member. You're not going to just keep on getting up if someone, just because somebody's patting you on the back. When you face persecution and you face hardship and when you're flat on your back, the only reason why you're going to really truly get up is when you finally see that the reason why I'm doing is because I love Jesus Christ. I love what he's done for me. I seen what he's done for me. I was lost and I was headed to hell, and because of his love for me, he died on the cross. He rose again from the grave. He has conquered death. He's conquered grave. He's conquered the hell for me. And I love him because of what he's done for me. And the only reason, the main reason why we're going to get up is because of the fact that we love him. And why do we love him? It's because it's a personal relationship. The Apostle Paul, he faced so many things. He had so many opportunities, so many different things God allowed him to do. But what was his goal in life? He said that I may know him. He says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. His salvation experience is real, and he enters into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows his Savior. He knows him truly, and he wants to know him better. He wants to please the Savior. The reason why he gets up is not just because, hey, I know God saved me. I know I'm going to heaven. I might as well just die here. No, he wants to get up because it's real to him. He wants to please God. Listen to what it says in Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me. What was he referring to? This could be one of those experiences. All the different things he faced, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the hungerness and not having his basic needs, the stonings, the snake bites. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? He says, so that I might finish my course of joy. I need to finish the course that God's given me because I love him and I joyfully want to finish his course. And continues on, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, look, I know it's real to me. I know him as my personal Savior. I want to please him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail him. I want to live for God with my life, and none of these other things are going to move me. None of these other things are going to stop me. When I get knocked down, I'm going to keep on getting back up because I love him and I want to finish my course of joy. I want to get the ministry that God has given me. I want to finish that. I want to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He's saying, if you want to keep on getting back up, you have to realize I need to love him the way Paul loved him. He continued on. I think Paul also got up because not only because he loved him and the experience was real for him, his relationship was real, he wanted to please him. I think Paul knew someday he was going to have to stand before him too. He wants to say, Pastor, I don't see how Paul can get up here. I don't see why Paul just doesn't lay there. I don't see why Paul doesn't go back to that wonderful ministry he had back in Antioch. And he could have just served there. He could have been profitable. He could have done all these things. No. He says, someday I'm going to stand before God. And I don't want to say, Lord, I gave up. When I got knocked down, I didn't want to get back up. Now, don't get me wrong. When you get knocked down, it's not fun. When you get laid flat on your back and things are going hard and things are going tough, it is a struggle. But we see here Paul, he gets up because he loves God. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is because he loves God, but you get back up because souls need the gospel. Because souls need to be saved. Because people need Jesus Christ. Even in this story here, verses 11 through 14, these people are so much based on their gods and their history. According to their stories, Zeus and this other god had come and down and visited a certain couple. This was many years ago. And they think that these other gods have come back down and they come and visit them through Paul and Barnabas. And they want to sacrifice them. And how ridiculous is this? God himself heals this man, but they want to lift these two guys up and think that they're gods that it came in man's form. They were lost. They didn't have the gospel. They didn't know the truth. Paul gets back up not just because he loves God, but because he loves souls. I tell you, when you get knocked down and when you things are hard and things are tough, I know there's going to be times in our life when we turn around and say, wouldn't it be easier just give up? Wouldn't it be easier just throw in the towel? Wouldn't it be easier just let somebody else do it? But the love of God is what constrains us. The love of God is what keeps on pushing us. And then we're reminded about God's love for souls, and we ourselves should have a zeal for souls. We can't just stay there. We need to get up because people need to hear the gospel. Paul's desire was this, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then all were dead. He said, look, if Jesus died, and he died for all, then all of us are dead. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. Everyone needs to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people are lost and dying and going to hell. And Paul says, I need to get up because of the fact there are people that need to hear Christ. Why else would he go back in the city? He went back in the city because people needed to see that those stones couldn't stop God. He needed to see that, God, yes, they tried to silence him, but Paul gets right back and goes in the city. Remember, we've mentioned this. I mentioned it yesterday. Everyone has an eternal soul. Everyone's soul will live forever. And will live in one of two places, heaven or hell. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Say, Pastor, that can't be true. The world tells us, everybody tells us, there's got to be many ways, there's many roads. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're trusting anything else, these people were trusting in Jupiter. These people were trusting in Mercurius. These people were trusting in false religions like many people do today. If you're trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ, according to what the Word of God says, you're not going to make it to heaven. Like the poet said, you can make it to heaven, you might not have wealth, you might not have health, you might not have friends, but you're never going to make it to heaven without Jesus. You're never going to make it there. I think he got up because he loved God. I think he got up because he knew souls needed the gospel. I also think he got up because he wanted to be an encouragement to the brethren. I read this story, and I see in verse 20, it says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him. Now, I picture this. He's been beaten. I mean, they've thrown stones at him. He's, in my mind, I think he's dead or he's almost dead. They take his body and they drag his body and they throw it out there. I'm sure they didn't lay it down. They throw it out there, and you see these disciples that are circling him. He said, where do these disciples come from? Now, we know that God sent Paul and Barnabas out. We don't know if there was anybody else there that was part of the group. But I'm thinking that these disciples were people who had been won to Christ maybe in the other cities or in this city themselves. These are young believers. These are believers that need to see. And I'm sure they're questioning. This was our leader. This was the one who won me to Christ. This is the person who preached the gospel. And now he's there. He's dead. Is what we believe real? Is what we believe is true? And I think Paul, he gets up because he wants to encourage these young believers. He wants to help them. He wants to show them. He says, hey, look, it's not worth like, I know you're going to get knocked down. I know hard things are going to happen. These people that are standing around them, they're going to be people that are going to have to go live in that city and try to win that city for God. And they're going to start a local church and they're going to learn the doctrines of God and they're going to have an elder and they're going to try to make an impact in this city that just stoned Paul. And Paul wants to show them, hey, our God is stronger than any rock. Our God is stronger than any false god. You're going to have to deal with these people, these Jupiters and these Jupiter priests, and you're going to deal with these Mercurius or whatever it is, all these different other gods and all this other false religion. But no matter what they do, and no matter how many times they try to put you down and lay you flat on your back, keep on getting up. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to encourage him. I think it's amazing, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God allowed Paul to write things like this. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You say, oh, no, Paul just wanted attention. Paul just wanted a following. Paul just wanted leaders. If Paul wanted credit, if Paul wanted glory, he would have let those people sacrifice that to him. He would have said, oh, yes, I did something great. That's not Paul at all. He says, not me, but Christ that's in me. And he didn't want the glory. He didn't want the praise. He says, look, as I follow after Christ, I want you to follow after me. Think about what he said in Philippians 4:9. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He had enough. He had lived a holy life enough for Paul. Paul had lived a holy enough life in front of the church of Philippi that God allowed him to pen these words. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what you saw me do, what you heard me say, those things that you learned from me, now I want you to do these things. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that I can say that to my kids. Look, as I follow after Christ, I want you to follow after me. The things that you learned from me, why do I keep on getting up? Why do you keep on getting up? Why did Paul keep on getting up? It's because we want to impact those that are around us and say, look, it's worth it. Yes, you might fall flat on your back. Yes, you might get knocked over. You might get knocked down. It might happen repeatedly. But you know what? It's worth keep on getting up. It gives a testimony to all of them. Say, Pastor, where do you see that? Well, let's remind ourselves, what city is he in here? He's in Lystra. Do we know anybody from Lystra? Timothy was from Lystra. Timothy could have been one of those disciples that, remember, Paul won Timothy to Christ. Timothy could have been one of those disciples that sat there around him and watched Paul get up. Timothy was the son of Timothy was the son of Paul in the ministry, in a sense. Someone who Paul loved dearly. Who did he write his last letter to? He wrote his last letter to Timothy. What does he say in this letter? Obviously, we're not going to preach the whole thing. But in 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He can write to Timothy, and Timothy is a struggling pastor, and I think probably at Ephesus at this time, and he's writing Timothy, and he's encouraging him. He's saying things like, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. What he's saying is, don't give up, keep on teaching. He says to him, I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep me, keep that which I've committed. He's saying, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able. He is able to do everything he has said. And he's telling Timothy these things. And Timothy doesn't have to sit and wonder if Paul means what he says. He doesn't have to sit and wonder, I wonder if Paul's going to quit or Paul's going to give up. He's seen Paul on the pile. He's seen Paul stoned. And he saw Paul get up. And he says, that's a guy I know that's not going to lay down. That's a guy I know that's not going to quit. That's a guy I know that's going to be faithful and keep on. Even when he gets knocked down, he's going to keep on getting up. And he's going to encourage other people to do the same. I don't know about you, but when he says at the end, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, I think that he's saying, look, Timothy, I'm done. Now it's your turn. Isn't that what we want to leave to the next generation? Isn't that what we want to leave to young believers? You know, hardship's going to come. Hard times are going to come. The devil is subtle. The devil is deceptive. The devil he's going to do whatever he can to knock you over, to get you out of the work, do whatever he can to stop you. But what they need to see is you just getting back up. Parents, what your children need to see, even when you face a hardship, when you face a hard time, when things are difficult, they need to see you getting back up. They need to say, you know what? Because I love God, I got to get back up. Because people need to be saved, I need to get back up. And because I want to influence the brethren, I need to get back up. What type of example are we being to the brethren today? Is it somebody that we have quit, we have given up? Or do we keep on getting back up? I'm reminded of that verse in Hebrews 5:12. It says, for when the when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And what the idea there is a group of people that had been saved long enough that they should be the one teaching and giving the example. But because they did not learn and because they did not grow, they are once again in need of being taught again. I want to encourage you today, ask yourself, what am I teaching those around us? Am I teaching those around us to gossip? Am I teaching those around us to give up? Am I teaching those around us by my service and by my actions and by my attitude and by my selfishness how to live like Christ? I think Paul taught Timothy that day, no matter what persecution you're going to face, it's worth getting up. Am I teaching them by my faithfulness, as Paul taught him, it's okay to be faithful. We know who we believed. We know what we've committed to him. He's going to be able to hold us to the end. Church today, how to keep on getting up. Have a love for God. Have a fresh zeal for God. Make sure your relationship with him is true. Make sure it's not based off of some false profession. Make sure it's not some, make sure that it's real. You know that song, I Know It's Real? It's real because the change he's made in my life. The Bible says that we're going to be, when you become a Christian, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. It's a real relationship with you. It's a real experience. It's not about baptism. It's not about joining a church. It's not about good works. It's about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And have you accepted him as your personal Savior? And if you have accepted him, then fall in love with him again. Well, how do you fall in love with him? It's a personal relationship. Learn about him. Like Paul said, who probably knew more than any of us knew about Christ, that I may know him. I still want to know more. I need to know more. I have such a passion and a love for him. I want to know more. And as you know him, you're going to love him. And as you love him, you're going to want to please him. And you're going to remind yourself that I'm going to stand before him someday. So he is worth getting up for, even when I get knocked down. But also, we remember God's love. What's God's precious for? Zeal for? It's for souls. He sent his son down the cross to die for him. We need to keep on getting up because there's a world that needs to hear the gospel. Would it have been easier to stay in bed today? Yes, it would have been easier staying in bed today. Would it have been easier to just give up and not serve God and quit? In some ways, yes. But we need to keep on getting up because there's people who need to hear the truth. Last but not least, we need to keep on getting up because we want to be an encouragement to the brethren. I know I mentioned this last week. You know what? I think it's great when people walk in the door and say, it's nice seeing so-and-so still being an usher. It's nice hearing so-and-so still singing in the choir. It was last Sunday night when we talked about the prodigal son returning home and the prodigal father staying on that porch and still serving God and still living for God. Same daddy. He didn't come home to some grumpy old man. He didn't come home to some man that says, get off my property. He came home to a loving, forgiving father that stuck by the stuff and kept on living. You know what he did? He got back up. When the prodigal son, I'm sure, knocked him off his feet in a sense, and he could have been low, he could have been discouraged, he could have been upset about all the things going. You know what he did? He got back up. He was waiting on that porch. Church, let's keep on getting back up. I don't know where you're at today, but I know sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. Sometimes it's easy to say, is it worth it? Let's just throw in the towel, let's just close up our Bibles and enjoy life. I tell you, there's nothing sweeter than serving God. No greater enjoyment that I have found in my life than being right with him and serving him and living for him wholly with my heart. There may be pleasure in sin for a season, but that's just for a short time. Paul got back up. Yes, it was God that healed him. I get that. There was nothing supernatural in Paul. As supernatural about Paul's God, and he would tell you that over and over. But just as Paul had to get up and make the decision to go back in that city and keep on serving, we're going to have to make that decision. Sometimes we have to make that decision daily. But when we get knocked flat on our back, we ask ourselves, okay, what am I going to do? So-and-so hurt me. I lost this. My family passed away. My husband passed away. My wife passed away. People are watching me. They know I've been discouraged. They know I lost my job. They know I'm facing this illness. I'm flat on my back. I have no idea what I'm going to do. They need to see you get up. They need you to keep on serving. They need to see you not quit. They need to see you let God lift you back up and just keep on serving. Getting back in the city and serving. Paul had a choice. He could have laid there and died, could have quit, or he could have got up and went back to work. We had that same choice. Let's keep on getting up. Let's keep on serving the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.